Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7, 8, and 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7, 8, and 9. Now, these are requests from Agur, who has written Proverbs chapter 30, and they are two requests for his lifetime. The two things that Agur wanted are these: remove vanity and lies far from me, and then he says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Those are the two things that he wanted. Now watch, let's read. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now, that's a lot said, but those are just two simple requests. One, remove far from me vanity and lies. Two, give me neither poverty nor riches. So what he wants is to be middle class. Now, that would not be the same as what we have in the middle class here, because the middle class in the United States has far more than what Agur would be requesting. He says, to define what he meant by give me neither poverty nor riches, he says, feed me with food convenient for me. He just wants something to eat. And make sure he's got, you know, it's convenient for him. He's got enough. So we want to look at these two things that Agur requested and make some comments on them, because it would be very helpful for us to understand these things the way that Agur requested them. Let's just take them in the order that they come. First of all, Agur says, remove far from me vanity and lies. All right, to remove vanity and lies from yourself. In other words, if you were like Agur and said, you know, that's a really good request of the Lord. I want him to remove vanity and lies from me. Well, then several things would have to happen. First of all, he'd have to remove the devil. I mean, seriously, he will do that. During the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil will be chained for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. He'll be taken out of the way. That's a good way to get rid of vanity and lies, particularly the good way to get rid of the lies. Why? Well, when Jesus Christ was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So if you want to get rid of lying, you've got to get rid of the devil. Now, quite frankly, the devil is very active today. And I know there are people that will say, you know, bind him out of this meeting or chain him up or keep him out of here. That isn't going to happen. He had free course all the way through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the first time that Jesus Christ was baptized and sent to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, all the way until right there at the crucifixion. The devil was completely active. And he was active in the early church. I mean, Satan filled the heart of Ananias and Sapphira to lie to God and to lie to the Holy Spirit, to lie to the congregation about their offering. The devil has transformed himself into an angel of light, and he's involved in deceiving people even this day, and will physically inhabit a body and reign on the throne of David during the tribulation. So if you want lying to stop, for one thing, he's got to be put out of the way. Why? Because he's a deceiver. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, speaking again of the devil, the Bible says that dragon, that great dragon, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, watch it, which deceiveth the whole world. All right? What does he do? He deceiveth the whole world, in order for that lying to be put away, the devil's going to have to be put away. That's one thing, and eventually that's going to happen, thank God. After the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be loosed out of the bottomless pit for a short period of time. He will make an attack with rebellious people against Jerusalem one more time. At that point, the Lord will destroy him with fire, and he'll be cast in a lake of fire, and that'll be the end of that. All right, the second thing that would have to happen in order for this prayer that Agur prayed to be answered, remove far from me vanity and lies, he said, to get rid of that lion. Then the second thing is it would require that you seek out those who speak the truth. In other words, if I say to the Lord, remove from me those that speak lies, and I go to the liar's corner every day to listen to conversation, then the Lord's not going to be able to remove those that are lying from me because I keep going to the liars for the information that I have. You see what I'm saying? So you got to act on the prayer. He says, remove far from me those that lie. Well, then what you've got to do is you got to seek out those who speak the truth. You know, God hates liars. You say, well, hate, that's a big word or a bad word or can't you just say, well, he loves the sinners and hates the sin and all that kind of stuff? Well, look what it says. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. All right, so the Lord hates some things. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Number one, in verse 17, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Then you jump down to verse 19. He hates a false witness that speaketh lies. That's the man himself. And God hates that. He hates lying. He hates liars. In Revelation chapter 21, 8, if God didn't hate liars, then why is it that he throws them into the lake of fire? Revelation 21, 8 says, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Did you see that? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There you go. If God didn't hate liars, then what's he doing throwing them in the lake of fire? You know why? Because like Agur, he wants liars removed from him. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, when we see about those that can enter New Jerusalem, guess who can't? Revelation 22, 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, they don't get in. Same thing that you see in 21, 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. You see? God cares nothing about being in the presence of liars, and you know what? Your attitude ought to be identical to God's. You're God's child. Listen, if Agur didn't want to be around liars, and God doesn't want to be around liars, I mean, he killed Ananias and Sapphira for lying, then why should you want to be around liars? Psalm 31:6, I have hated them, David said. Psalm 31:6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. What did he say? I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. So it may be strong language, but it is the truth. Agur said, I don't want to be around them. Remove far from me vanity and lies. God doesn't want to be around them. David didn't want to be around them. That means that you're going to have to seek out those who speak the truth. You know, it's a strange thing to me. I've had the opportunity to talk to people who go to church, but they don't go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. They just go to church. And in talking with them about certain things, they say to me, based upon what the Bible says, and I'm not trying to talk them out of anything, I'm trying to show them Jesus Christ. They'll say to me, you know what? My church is wrong in many respects based upon what the Bible says, and they know it. And I simply ask them, why do you continue to go there? Well, I like it. Then they're not like Agur. They like the social aspect of their church. They like the music in their church. They may even like some of the people in their church. And that's why they continue to go, but they subject themselves and their families to lies continuously from the pulpit. Removing vanity and lies from you requires the devil to be put away. It requires that you seek out those who speak the truth. It also requires that you know enough truth to be able to spot the lie. And that's a hard thing for some people. When I was in the banking business, when I first started out, I started out as a teller. And I worked in a commercial window, drive-through window, that was just stacked up, man. I mean, two large major downtown banks in Houston had merged, and all the customers stayed with them, but we had to kind of work both of those banks with the same size group of employees that they had with just one of the banks and the same size facilities. And let me tell you what, man, I mean, we had to handle that cash. I'd count through thousands and thousands of dollars every day. Well, I got so used to touching government-printed currency that immediately when my fingers contacted counterfeit bills, I could feel them. How did I know a counterfeit bill? Because I'd studied so many of them? No. I knew the right ones, and that's how I could tell the wrong ones. In order for you to be able to spot a lie, it requires that you know enough truth to be able to spot the lie. So if you're like Agur and you say, remove from me vanity and lies, you got to know enough truth to know when you're being lied to. And you get that from the Bible. But when talking about Bibles, you've got to watch out for what we studied last week. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Modern Bibles, profoundly and frankly, are liars' Bibles. That's what God said. I didn't call them that. That's what God said. You add to the words of God, you're a liar. That's what he said. I'm just repeating what he said. And so if you're looking to spot lies by reading lying material, you're not going to be able to spot them. It requires that you know enough truth to be able to spot the lie. You get that out of a Bible. You say, which one? An authorized King James Bible. You see, there are those who have corrupted the words of God. They were doing that in Paul's day. They were burning the words of God in Jeremiah's day. So what makes you think suddenly that all these good, godly scholars are no longer corrupting the words of God like men have done for millennia? Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God and the sight of God speak we in Christ. They were corrupting the words of God in Paul's day, and there were many that were doing it. So it requires that you know enough truth to be able to spot the lie. You're going to have to read your Bible, an authorized King James Bible, and get your head and heart soaked with it so the Holy Spirit can speak to you loudly when somebody's lying. I remember one time sitting in a jury, listening to testimony by the plaintiff and by the defendant, and it was interesting because one party in that trial could not answer the question that was being asked without adding a lot of other things that were not being asked in order to try to make a better defense or make a better statement from the point that they were trying to make. And I was reminded during all of that, in the multitudes of words, there wanteth not sin. And sure enough, when we got ready to deliberate, the rest of the jurors agreed there was something wrong with the testimony of the mouthy witness and made their judgment based upon the evidence that was presented, but it was an overriding concern that this one particular person kept saying so much more than was being asked, like as if trying to cover something. You got to know enough truth to be able to spot the lie. And the truth says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. All right, to remove vanity and lies also requires that you cut off those who lie to you. I mean, if you want to continue to listen to lying, then how can you ask God to remove lying from you? In Psalm 119, we find a couple of references to this. Psalm 119, verse 29, the psalmist knew. Psalm 119, verse 29, the psalmist says, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me the law, thy law graciously. In Psalm 119, verse 163, he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Well, then, you're going to have to cut off those who lie to you if you're going to want to get vanity and lies to be removed from you. Now, you say, who lies to you? Well, I don't believe that you can get the truth by listening to the major media news. I don't believe you can get the truth. You can get some facts, but you're also going to get an awful lot of opinion. And you're going to have to go behind those facts to verify that what you've heard is, in fact, what really happened rather than what they wanted you to hear. In other words, oftentimes when a person is interviewed, that interview may last for 30 minutes, but on television, they'll just give you 30 seconds of the interview, and they'll only give you that part they want you to see. And they'll leave out 29 and a half minutes of the interview, which included a lot of other contextual material to show that the remark they televised was not the truth, not the way they presented it. It was a statement that was certainly made by the person that made it, and rather wasn't that twisted, but it was not given to you in the context in which it was made. And therefore, it does not portray the truth that was being spoken by the person in the interview. Plus, there's an awful lot of stuff that's covered in the news that is superficial. And the real news never makes it out. You don't know what it is. So in order for you to be able to get the truth, you're going to have to cut off those who lie to you. I don't watch the news on television. I haven't watched the news on television except maybe accidentally, if I'm sitting in an airport or sitting in a hotel or in a hospital room. I haven't watched the news on television in 17 years. You say, well, how do you know what's going on? There are ways to find out what's going on without having to listen to TV news and stuff like that if you really want to know what the truth is. Removing vanity and lies from you requires that you recognize that everything under the sun is vanity according to the man who tried everything under the sun down here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." I mean, he even talked about the rainfall being vanity in that it descends, it soaks into the earth, it runs down into the rivers, it runs into the sea, it is gathered up by evaporation, brought back over the land, it rains again. Round and round it goes. What's been has already been. What's coming has already been. There's nothing new under the sun. So when you know that, then the thing to do is to set your affection on things above and on things that come down from the Father of lights, like a prudent wife. Because she's given to you from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Children, because children are a heritage of the Lord. The words of God, because they come directly from God Almighty. And wisdom, according to James chapter 3, that comes from above, that's pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The right kind of wisdom. Listen, this word of God is the truth. One time, as I've told you before, a 77-year-old man decided that he wanted to really read that Bible through a bunch more times before he died, so he was reading it through every 3 weeks. And his little granddaughter came through one day and jumped up in his lap and said, "Grandpa, what you reading?" And he said, "I'm reading the news." You're going to know more about what's going on right now than you ever would listening to the news. On the news, what you hear continuously is that there are attempts being made in the Middle East to bring about world peace, right? It'll never happen. It's vanity, and it is a lie. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, and there will not be peace on earth until Jesus Christ himself comes here personally to reign, physically, literally, and visibly. And any attempt to bring about world peace without him will bring about more war." And when people say, "Well, we're going to control this nuclear thing, and we're going to control that nuclear thing," you'll never do anything of the kind. Listen, by the time Jesus Christ gets back here, we can calculate from the book of Revelation that at least half the population of the earth will have been killed off. And that's the minimum from Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 8 or 9 it is. I can't, 9 I believe. Half the population of the earth is gone, even before Armageddon. And in Armageddon, the blood runs to the horses' bridles in the valley for a space of 200 miles. That's many more folks that are still dead. You're a long way from being able to get peace down here. That's lying and that's vanity. Okay? Now, the second thing that Agur asked for is, he says, "I don't want poverty and I don't want riches." He said, "I don't want poverty because I'll steal and take the name of the Lord God in vain," which would be breaking the second commandment, and breaking, which one is that? The seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not kill, that'd be the sixth. Thou shalt not commit adultery, that's the seventh. Thou shalt not steal, that's the eighth commandment. He said, I don't want to do either one of those. And he knew his own nature. He said, and I know I'll do it. He said, and I don't, and hey, he says, but by the same token, Lord, he said, I don't want riches. Now, you know, you're not going to convince many Americans to ask the Lord, don't give me riches. But Agur was smart enough to know what riches would do to him. He said, they'll cause me to deny God. I'll ask, who is the Lord? That's what Pharaoh asked when Moses and Aaron came in. They all became agnostics. I suppose if you look at the Barna polls, there are more agnostics in the United States of America now than there were in this pre-prosperous time that we're in. You see, we're in the Laodicean church age right now, according to Revelation chapter 3. And in the Revelation chapter 3, in the discussion of the Laodicean church, we find this, that the Laodicean church is increased with goods and in need of nothing. That's what the church says. I am enriched and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But the Lord says, knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Agur was smart enough to know that he did not want riches. Because once a man starts counting on riches, he's no longer counting on God. It obscures his faith. He becomes an agnostic. He said, who's the Lord? And who needs the Lord, by the way? I've got everything I want. Paul made some real good comments about all this stuff concerning wealth in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And believe me, we're not limiting ourselves to one passage of the Bible because that's the only passage that has anything to say about it. No, we're limiting ourselves to 1 Timothy chapter 6 simply because of time. The Bible is filled with information to confirm the witness of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, as certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And Agur said, I don't want any of that, verse 9. I don't want to fall into temptation and a snare. I don't want to fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. I don't want to drown in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It obscures faith to have too much wealth. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. He goes on to say in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and that they be rich in good works and ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Agur said, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor, but I don't want to be rich. You see, the only thing that's certain about riches is they're going to fly away. That's the most certain thing about them. Here today, gone tomorrow. Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. He said, you can't count on anything about money except one thing. It won't be here when you need it. It will fly away. You know what he said? He said, I'd rather you not give me, I don't want to be poor. He said, but I don't want to be rich. What I want you to do is give me bread convenient for me. Just that's all I want. I want feed me with food convenient for me. You know what? Paul thrived on contentment, and that's what this is. He said, I just want enough food to be able to satisfy my need, my hunger, and my need. Not just the hunger for the appetite, but what I need to live. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, that's what you need, and that's what I need. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? Because he was content. You see, that's what goes on in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, contentment is preached. Why? Because you're saved. Because you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in you. What more could you possibly want? Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So just be content with what you have. You've got enough. Let me tell you something. There are literally millions of people all over this world who would be happy with a roof over their head, food in their bellies, and clothes on their backs. And that's all they really care about. I mean, seriously, they are Gentiles, and they would be absolutely happy to be clothed, fed, and housed. That's all they really care about. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, don't worry about it. If you've got food and raiment, you got all you need. Literally, we've had missionaries come in from third world countries and tell us about the average monthly income and the average annual income of the people with whom they work. It would shock you, the average annual income in the Gobi Desert in Mongolia is $40. $40 a year. Don't tell me they wouldn't be happy with a little food, some clothing, and a roof over their head. And Agur said, you know what? I'd be happy, Lord, if you'd just feed me with food convenient for me, because after all, that's all you need in order to be sustained until you take your leave of this earth and go on to be with the Lord in heaven. So Agur was very smart. He said, you know, I don't want to be bothered by vanity and lies. Okay, if you don't want that, then turn off the television, open the Bible, and set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. That'll take care of that one. And he says, don't make me poor, but then don't make me rich. Just feed me with bread that is convenient for me, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Trust him. Do a good day's work with your hands. Give to those that have need, and the Lord take care of all that for you. I tell you what, those two requests that Agur had for his lifetime, those are good requests, and they ought to be ours. They ought to be ours.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.